Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Well, this morning is Hot Topic Thursdays, and we have a hot one for you. You know, Hot Topics is all about bringing a topic that most people really just don't want to talk about. But the truth of the matter is, it is an area where people, a lot of people are struggling in, or it's an area where people need to know more about it. So our hot topic for today, and I mean it is hot, hot, hot. The last time we had a hot topic, we talked about people who sleep with their cell phones. And, oh, my God, that was hot. That was hot. Actually, that became a hot topic and a half because we started talking about it on Wednesday and almost couldn't stop. We couldn't control ourselves. Now, since then, I don't know how many people that you have noticed walking around, their cell phones are always in their hands. As a matter of fact, why don't you just text somebody right this second? Because I bet you can even text me because I got my cell phone is right here. But guess what? I don't sleep with it. I'm not going that far. And there was a lady that I had told on Monday that we were going to have that hot topic. So we had the hot topic on Thursday. I saw her on Monday, this past Monday, and the first thing she wanted to know, how did the show go? How was it? I said to myself, well, you really wanted to know, you should have tuned in. But I was all too happy to tell her how it went. I said that it went great. People were excited. We were talking about it. And she said, you know what happened? My cousin came to town over the weekend, and, you know, I had to have her sleep in the bed with me. And she said, and all of a sudden, I heard the phone ring in the middle of the night, and I was, like, wondering what it was. And it was her cell phone. Her sister or cousin or whatever it was sleeping with her phone. So she said, and I thought about you. I couldn't wait to get here today to ask you how it went. So I'm telling you, people, That was truly, truly a hot topic. But we have another hot topic. And if you have any comments, if you have a hot topic you would like for us to discuss, please, 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 you could follow us now on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, and actually you can find me now on Meetup. So meetup.com, MEETUP.com, meetup.com. So we're going to have a couple of groups on meetup.com. One group we're going to have is called the EVAW. Yes, like Raw Vol, EVAW, Eradicating Violence Against Women. So that's a new meetup and a new seminar workshop I'm doing. So make sure you definitely stay tuned for that. And also you can email your hot topics to PatriciaPetersMartin@yahoo.com. So you can also find her on Facebook as well. So, yes, meetup.com. Thank you, Patricia, who is just an awesome, awesome co-producer. Look at her. I'm telling you, she is about to take my job of being the full producer for the show. Good morning, Mr. Paul Kiriazi. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, you know, Miss Patricia, I'm telling you, she has really just stepped up and taken over. And I think next thing you know, Wendy Williams and them are going to be calling her saying, we want a producer like that. But that's okay. If they want her, let me tell you, they're going to have to pay her a lot of money. And she'll go. And that's the kind of leader I am. I love to, you know, hey, listen, we work with people. We let people do what they do, use their gifts, their talents, their skills and abilities as they see it. I'm not here to tell anybody what you're supposed to be doing. Well, sometimes I do, but for the most part, if I see something, I will absolutely identify it. If I see something, if I see a gift in a person, I will absolutely, and sometimes it may get me in trouble, but I will tell people, you know what, you should be doing this, this, or that. And, you know, hey, you may not agree with it. It's just my little humble experience, and that's because growing up, I went from age, you know, birth up until I was 33 with no one saying to me, that's your gift, and I have like a ton of them. So I am against people who notice gifts in you and never tell you. Now, it's one thing if you're using your gifts. There's no need for a person. That's what would be foolish, right? They see you doing it. Like now you don't have to tell you know, Patricia, oh, I think you'd make a good radio producer. Well, you see, she's already doing that. But it's to identify gifts that you see people are not using. So here I was, not using any of my gifts, wonderful gifts that I have that God has given me, and people never said a word. So that's one of the reasons. It's a passion of mine. It's a very personal thing when I share that with someone. When I tell someone that they have a particular gift, it's only because I know how it can be a disservice not only to yourself but to society as well, because, you know, the world needs all the gifts that God has put down on the inside of you. And I believe that's why the one man who did not use his gift, I believe that's why he was basically sentenced to a very, very, very bad place. And because the thing is, you know, how horrible is the place is without your gift. So anyway, we got a hot topic today, violence against women. I almost need to feel like I need to whisper it, because, you know, people act as though this is a topic that, well, here's the thing. People act as though it doesn't happen, which is why it continues to escalate. It's because people try to ignore it, sweep it under the rug. Therefore, when it does happen, and that is violence against women, when it happens, the women who are violated don't have anywhere to turn. Because if everybody's trying to hush, hush, hush it and sweep, sweep, sweep it under the rug, if everyone's trying to, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil, nobody wants to mention it, nobody wants to talk about it, other than in very, you know, closed circuits, okay? There are groups of small little pocket of people here and a small little pocket of people there. If people don't want to deal with it, then the people who this is happening to, they don't have anywhere to go. I remember there was a woman once who came, that was brought to me, rather, who had, she was being abused by her husband, and they brought her to me and asked me if I could help her. Do you know I had the hardest time trying to help this woman? Because, again, it's not very clear as to where people can go. Well, you know what? We are here to add a solution to that problem. That's one of the reasons why myself and many, many, many other people are working to eradicate violence against women. Now, this is a very, very hot topic. Now, here's what we know about violence against women. First of all, every 9 seconds, so let's see how long 9 seconds is, okay? So we're going to start and we're going to count to nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Bam. Another woman was just violated. Every 9 seconds, a woman is battered. Right here in the United States, we're not even talking worldwide. I'm not even using worldwide statistics. I'm not even talking about in countries where it has been the norm for women to be violated. I'm talking about right here in the United States. So right here on the hills of the surmise of Osama bin Laden, and right here on the morning that our president-in-chief, commander-in-chief, United States president, Mr. Barack Obama, is in New York City or on his way to New York City to give a special message to the survivors of 9/11. Well, there were women that were violated and men as well. So this issue right here in the United States is very serious. There are men who are also violated. And a lot of times people will say, when we start talking about violence against women, a lot of people, the first thing they say is, well, men are violated too. Absolutely, they are, and we know that. But here is why I'm focusing on the women that are violated, is because statistically, through the National Violence and Assault Associations around the United States, domestic violence, sexual assault, child molestation, child abuse, all of the assaults against women, the statistics show that probably around 70 to 80% of the cases that are reported, because we can't do anything about cases that are not reported, if men are violated and they don't tell anyone, that does not go into the statistics. So it could be higher. But what we do have in statistics is that it's mostly, of the reported cases, 70 to 80% are cases of men against women. Okay? And here's the other thing you've got to keep in mind when you always hear people talking about, when you hear typically domestic violence, sexual assault, you think what? Men against women, even though we know it does happen to men as well, and we know women do abuse men, but not to the greater extent. To the greater extent, it is the other way around. Now, until such time that things change, we'll keep doing it the way we're doing it. But right now, it's a big problem in our society. Now, in the workplace, oh my goodness. No, you know, we've talked about that. That topic was hot. We had that hot topic, bullying in the workplace, before we ever had the shows where we do hot topics. So I think that show helped us create this format for hot topics. But bullying in the workplace is getting more and more and more serious. Bullying at school. Our kids are being bullied. It is nothing new. I was bullied from the first grade, kindergarten. I start getting bullied probably the kindergarten or first grade. I wasn't bullied at Sands. When I attended Sands Elementary School in Cincinnati, Ohio, I was not bullied. The school was right across the street from where we lived, or right down the street, very close. I had cousins who attended the schools, and, you know, we were all, you know, it was great. No problems at San Elementary School. But when we moved to Millville, we moved out of, we were living in like the downtown Cincinnati area. And they call it the West End. It's known as the West End. We moved into a place called Millville, and it was a project. And when we moved there, it was a very big project. And it was bad. It was bad. It wasn't high-rises. They were the town. You know, Cincinnati doesn't have a lot of high-rise projects like New York and Chicago and New Jersey. Most of our projects were a townhouse setting. You know, you had your front door, your back door, and each family had like a little small yard outside. Well, we lived in this project called Millville, and that's where I began to be bullied. But we moved there probably the summer. I was going to the first grade, I believe. Yeah, that makes sense. I was first grade, and therefore my sister was probably like a preschool kind of thing. So we moved there, and that's when it started. And there was a particular family there. And the girl in the family, she was my age, but she was a bully. She was a bully. And what that means is that bullies like to beat up on other kids that they see as weak, or the kids that they see that don't fight back. And they used to call you scaredy cat, names like that. And if you were a girl, probably if you were a boy, they would call you a punk. So bullying, of course, is nothing new. Now, cyberbullying, of course, is new because of all the texting and all the social networks online. And young people can text threatening messages to other kids. So that's what was going on. So I'm definitely, and this happened, so this family, too bad they didn't move away, or too bad we didn't move away, but we stayed there until I was going to the fifth grade. So she bullied me from the first, second, third, and fourth, and the reason is that I never learned how to fight back or stand up for myself. So actually, I should be going to a Stop Girl Bullying conference in July out in Las Vegas. They have listed me down to do a workshop, and I'm doing a workshop for kids to help them get over how to overcome having been bullied and things like that. So I'm really into this stopping the violence against girls, but here's the thing. I had a lot of violence against me, so not only was I being bullied for four straight school years, and then on top of that being, you know, violated at home as a kid, being molested. So, and then, you know, getting older, 18, having been raped and date raped a couple of times, and then actually in relationships where it was the, what they call dating violence, because the boy was not my husband. I was a teenager. I was 17 going on 18. I did move in with him because I had left home at 16. I moved in with this boy, and he was violent against me. So I have all these experiences, and that is why I'm really wanting to help others who are in this. But these are some of the statistics. Now, other statistics show that one in every third girl will be abused or sexually assaulted by the time she's 18, by the time she's 18 years old. One in three, that's one in three. That's staggering. Now, you may have some knowledge of this happening to someone you know, and you may want to know, how can you get help for individuals? Some of you know, I was recently speaking at Seton Hall University, and that question came up. There was a young lady there who wanted to know how to get help for a friend who was being abused violently by her boyfriend. Now, she hasn't married the guy yet, but more than likely, statistics show that if you're dating someone who is violent toward you, there is a strong possibility that you may end up married to a person that may do this. And unfortunately, some people who get married to individuals who are violent against them, they stay married to the person for a while. You know, people say, well, why do you stay? Why not get out? Well, there's a lot of other factors when people are in an abusive situation. You know, I don't know if you are aware of this, but love is a very, very strong emotion. Love is a very, very strong emotion. So when people are in love with someone, it's kind of hard just to pick up and walk away. And when you love someone, you typically, you want to help them. So if you're in love with a person that's abusive towards you, who is violent against you, you may think that you can help them. And so it may cause you to want to stick around to try to help. And then there's the whole scenario if the person has children together, they may want to not. They may feel that to separate is a disruption to their family. And sometimes they just flat out fear. You know, statistics show that murder against a woman in these violent situations, we're talking today, our hot topic today is violence against women. And we want to help eradicate that, but we want you empowered, especially if you're a manager today. If you are a manager or a leader or a boss today, and even though this is nothing new, it should have always been this way, but, well, you know, it takes us a while sometimes, and we have to experience a few bad things sometimes before we get a, you know, wake up and understand what our role is in society in terms of eradicating a thing. But if you are a supervisor or a manager or a boss, you need to know about this because it could be happening to your employee. You could have an employee or a partner because you can't go by people's outside appearance. You can't go by people's economic status in terms of if this is happening or not. It happens to all walks of humanity, the rich, the poor, the in-between, every race, every religion, there's no religion where this is, area where this is off limits, okay? It happens, doctors, lawyers, Muslims, Christians, Hindu, you name it, it happens. Because it's not about a culture, it's not about a religion, it is about power and control. When people want to dominate someone, when they want power and control over that person, because think about it, as human beings, it is our nature to be free, okay? So if someone wants power and control over a person, that person inside is going to be like, no, I want my freedom here, you know. So that's where you're going to get that pushback, which will cause the person who wants the power and control to exert more force on that person. And they do it in a number of ways. It's more than just a hit or slap or pulling of the hair or kicking. But this issue, you know, violence against, you know, women, what they say is that once, in terms of the murders, you hear cases where a person was shot and was murdered, right? The majority of those cases, I don't have the actual number, but the majority of those cases happen after the separation. So after a restraining order is probably filed, because here's the thing, if a person is not, okay, you may break up from that person, and they may go on about their business and go on to the next woman and abuse her. We've seen that happen many, many times. If a person is after you and now they're violent, violence has turned, you know, murderous, so to speak, you get a restraining order, the person begins to stalk you, and you've seen the movies on Lifetime, right? If you haven't, you might want to watch one or two of them. Many of them are true stories. They've been adjusted for television, but they're true stories. when a person begins to stalk you and come after you, they say that typically the murders take place after the separation. So, you know, one of the things that a lot of agencies won't do, they will not say to the woman, you need to get up and leave. Yes, they do say you need to get yourself and your children out of harm's way. But you have to use a lot of wisdom and everything. You know, you have to use everything to know when to go, and you have to go the right way. Many women have lost their lives as they were leaving or shortly after they left, and sometimes even within that year. The person, because those are, you know, people, when you're removed from them, that's when their panic button seems to be really, really hit. And that's when it's not a good time period, in other words. So what are we to do as a society? We have to get rid of this problem. This is a major social problem in our society. We have young girls now. There's a big thing that's commonplace amongst young girls, and that is this whole thing they call dating violence. And if you have any questions about this hot topic or you want to make a comment, please, you can, you know, dial into our phone. The area code is 347-945-7991, and just hit your number one key, and we will gladly take your comments. If you know of a situation, or you have a question, or you know of a person that is a victim of this, I know people who are actually victims, women who are victims of domestic violence, including myself, but I also know some that did not survive. I know some people who actually did lose their life, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with, there's a woman in the United States who goes around and speaks she's probably tired from traveling and speaking, but she is the woman that was shot point blank in the face by her attacker. It was a boyfriend that she had broken off with, but somehow she had decided maybe to go out to dinner with him or something like that. And her name is Carol something. And she went, and it was all on television. She went with him, whatever. And later on, he came to her apartment. She was there with her mother. He came and, of course, you know, tried to get in to the apartment. Well, she thought she was going to let him in or whatever, just to talk or something like that. He wanted to come in just to talk. And the mother cautioned her not to, and she let him in anyway. This is the reenactment I saw on television. She opened the door and let him in. He pulled out a gun. The mother jumped in front of her, so he shot and killed the mother and then shot her point blank in the face and shot half her face off. And then it began to show, it was on a medical channel, and because they were showing all that took place in terms of how they reconstructed her face. And for a while, she's been on Oprah and every talk show that has ever probably been on. This is going back probably 8 or 9 years ago, and she went through, like, you know, a lot of surgeries, more than 20 for sure. And she walked around for, you know, I don't know how long, at least probably a year or so, just in a bandage. Her face was in a bandage. And they called her, she was named the woman with no face. So maybe you can always look it up on the internet. The woman with no face. And just, I'm telling you, wow, what an amazing story, this woman. And then this doctor, of course, kept working and working and working, and they were showing how they had to reconstruct everything. They had to make her an ear. They made her a nose. They had to make her a jaw. They made her, oh, my goodness, I'm telling you, her whole face is reconstructed out of clay or whatever else they make a face out of. And so at least she walks around today with no bandage. But so all of that because of a breakup. Now, there is another case. Well, actually, in the class that I'm attending on Monday nights. It is a domestic violence advocate training program that I'm taking up. There's a police officer there, and he was talking about a case that just happened a few years back here in New Jersey, where the guy, I believe he called the woman up and said, come and meet him somewhere. She did. And when she got there, he got out of his car. He walked over to her car, had her roll down the window, took a gun, and shot her right in the head. And so there are many, many cases of women, violence against women. Then, so we have to eradicate this problem. It is a very serious problem. It is nothing to play with. And there's no way to tell who's going to do it and who isn't. If very young people do it, and older people, young people. There was, I remember in New Jersey some years ago, there was a woman who was a very prominent person in the community, knew a lot of people, had very high positions. Her husband, and they were older, like in their 60s, her husband murdered her in their home. He murdered her, and then he murdered himself. And she still had a whole lot of living left. It wasn't like they were in their 90s, and they were very ill, and they were trying to do mercy on each other. No, 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 no. Nothing like that. And so this is not like it's just for the young people. Hello? It can happen, violence against women. They say that the majority of women, somewhere between like 70 and 80%, at least somewhere up there, the majority of women who are murdered, it is done by an intimate partner or someone that they know. So either a marriage or a boyfriend, whatever. So we have to eradicate this problem. Now, you might say, well, how are we going to do this? It seems really big, right? It seems like, oh, my God, this is happening everywhere. Like we said, there's the bullying thing. Sometimes the same person who was molested as a child or raped as a young person, sometimes that person may be the same person that may end up in an abusive marriage or a domestic violence situation or partner, or they may call it partner violence, because you may be a couple living together, but you may not be married, you know, in the eyes of the law per se. You didn't go have a marriage license and do all that. But you live together, that's called partner violence. And so there's a lot of this happening around the country. Again, we haven't even gotten out of the U.S. yet. But certainly it's enough right here to keep those who are passionate about this for whatever reason. But you have to be careful because, you know, you can't just do it because it sounds fun. It's very serious. The people that it, the lives that it affects, the children, other adults, and anyone else that's involved in this, it's a very sensitive subject. Like I said, people may not want to share that this is happening to them. They may be stigmatized. They may feel that it's embarrassing because they may feel that people are going to think they're stupid to stay in a relationship where they are being physically violated. And it could be physical. Abuse is not just physical. It's also emotional. This is where a person has you very afraid to say anything, to do anything. They may be putting you down, telling you you're unattractive, all these kinds of things. It could be psychological, making you think you're crazy. They could lie and cheat and do these different things to make you think you're losing your mind. It could be also financially. There's such thing as a financial abuse. This is where your spouse or partner could make you beg for money, okay? And there's a lot of people probably going through financial abuse and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And it could now, there's probably more cases of men being financially abused than being physically abused. and that's if you have a woman that makes you beg for the money. So you go out and work every day, and you have to turn the money over to her, and then in order for you to go out and get a shirt or something, you got to beg for it. But it does happen. It does happen. It definitely happens against women. So, you know, you need a vacuum sweeper to make, you have a big house, and you need to make your housework easier for you because you have to work all day, take care of the kids, but your partner won't, you know, buy a vacuum sweeper that you could get for $60 or $70 at Walmart. They make you suffer with having to use a broom to sweep a carpet, which is already difficult. Yes, it is good exercise. You could look at it like that. But at the same time, you may not have the time because you're working, you got the children, you got your household to take care of. So there's a such thing as financial abuse, you know, withholding the money, not getting just the basic necessities. We understand you may not have enough money for the luxuries, especially in a time like this, but it should be mutual. It shouldn't be where you're able to, you know, kind of have some of the necessities that you need and she doesn't. So there's a lot of financial abuse going on. There's also social abuse. This is where the partner or the husband or the spouse does not want you to have any friends, no social contact outside of them. That's social abuse. Now, again, it's not abuse if you don't want any. If you are a recluse and you like to stay at home and not talk to anybody and not see anybody, then no one's abusing you by saying don't have friends. But it's if you want to have a social life. And I'm not talking about a husband that wants you off of Facebook at 2 a.m. Now, come on. You might need to be off at that time of warning. Unless you have a spouse who works all night, then you don't have to worry. They're out of the house and you're up anyway. But no, we're talking about if this is disruptive to your relationship and your family. But social abuse with these things that are not reasonable. Typically, in these abusive situations, there will be an injustice. It's an injustice, not just someone's, you know, mere desire. So how do we get rid of this? Well, I believe, and this is my belief, and statistics does bear witness to this as well, and that's from all the people that have been delivered from it, set free from it, individuals like Dr. Tanya Blunt and many, many others, Dr. Cindy Hunter and others that I know who have powerful stories about this. There's a couple of women down in Dallas, Texas, that I've met over time. They've also are victims and survivors, rather, of domestic violence of some sort or sexual assault, rape, child molestation, child abuse. And one of the things that we've seen is that when you break the silence, you can typically break that stronghold off of your life. The longer you keep it silent, the longer it's going to take us to eradicate the problem. And the longer we keep silent about letting our younger women and our girls know as they go into their teenage years, they can hopefully avoid these situations. For instance, there are a lot of girls who it's their first boyfriend is abusive to them. But, you know, no one told them to look out for that. You know, if we have teenagers that all they think about is dating, and then no one cautions them that every date is not worthy of a second date, okay? If we don't teach them what are some of the signs of an abuser, then we've got a lot of problems. We got big problems. So this is our hot topic for today. Women who are violated, women who are experiencing violence at home and, unfortunately, on the job. There are a lot of people who are violated at work. They're being violated by, and believe it or not, I almost hate to say it, but there are a few cases where people are even violated in the church. And that's whether you are in a synagogue or any kind of a worship temple, a worship house, or a worship situation. It happens there as well. We saw startling examples where people were in the church, they were the pastor's wives, and they had stories that would literally break your heart, just absolutely break your heart. So what we want to do is we want to help people. First of all, we want to make people aware of the fact that you have rights in the United States, just so that you'll know, it is against the law to abuse women. How about that? It's a law. A law was passed in 1991, and then they actually added more to it in 1996, I believe. Do you know that the state of New Jersey, in terms of the United States, the state of New Jersey has the most comprehensive domestic violence law of all the states? Yes, New Jersey. And what that also means is that we've had a lot of horrible cases too. So, but yes, New Jersey, the state of New Jersey has the most, in other words, we have the most protections against it in our law. Okay, so if it's reported in terms of you filing a restraining order, in terms of calling the police to your home, you're going to be covered. You're going to be covered, and the police are going to respond. Now, the police still have a right, once they get there, to assess the situation, but the police have to absolutely take it serious. There's been several cases where the police and the police department have been sued. I think at Irvington there was a big lawsuit that the people won because the police didn't do anything about it. And then there are a couple of other towns here in New Jersey that are landmark cases because the police didn't do what could have been done. And the persons either lost their life. Well, one lady in the Irvington case, I don't even think the person lost their life. But they won their lawsuit and they got millions of dollars. So definitely the police today are certainly not just, you know, walking away saying, oh, well, just walk it off. Oh, he'll be all right. Oh, he's just drunk. Let him sleep it off. They can't do that any longer, okay? They have to assess the situation very, very, very carefully. They have to look for any injuries at all, any broken skin, any bruises. They have to take it very, 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 very serious because they could definitely lose their life. And victims of domestic violence, they have to be treated very fairly in the court systems. They can't be, you can't go into the court system as a victim of domestic violence and then turn around and be victimized, okay? You have to be treated very, very fairly. Now, there is an 800 number to call if you have been domestically violated. So I'm going to make sure I give you that number. And I definitely want to put also, I've included some information about domestic violence on my website. The one thing I didn't do was I didn't put the number there. So we got to definitely put the number, the phone number for you to call. And by the way, this year, 2011, marks the, 15th anniversary for the domestic violence hotline, okay? This marks the 15th year for the domestic violence hotline. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to get you that number right now. So you can, the domestic violence, they're celebrating 15 years, and their hotline number is 1-800-799-7233.
Hello, I'm Salma.
That's one.
Love is trust. Love is speaking.
Yes. Listen to this.
Love is also speaking out when someone you know is being abused. For 15 years, the National Domestic Violence Hotline has been saving lives and answering calls from victims, friends, and families, and they will be there for you. Call 1-800-799-SAVE for personal and confidential help. You are not alone.
Okay, so you heard that. That's right from the domestic violence hotline. They are celebrating 15 years of helping people. All right? If you know someone, you don't see, when I didn't have the number to call, all right? When I was going through, who knew? I didn't even know there was such a thing. Well, when I was being abused, this hotline was not even around. This hotline only started 15 years ago, okay? So in 1996, it was just beginning. And the hotline has helped over time, they have taken over 22,000 calls a month. A month. 22,000. Can you imagine the type of people they need to help them assist with this? So people may say, well, Lisa, why did you get involved in this? Why? How could I not? See, we all have a purpose in life, and that's what we've been teaching here on the Coach Lisa Show since day one. We all have a purpose. Your purpose may not be my purpose. My purpose may not be Oprah Winfrey's purpose. Her purpose may not be, you know, President Obama's purpose. But you got a purpose. And as soon as you discover your purpose, you will find that your life will just brighten up. It will just lighten up. It will just be so clear to you as to your next step. When you're on the journey of purpose, the steps become clear with each one that you make. You don't make a whole lot of steps at once. You just go one day at a time, one step at a time. But when you're on purpose, the steps will become clear. And this is a lot of people that need help. They say that there are more than 2.3 million people that have been helped with the hotline. Now, imagine all the people who needed that hotline prior to 1996. Okay? Domestic violence is big. It is huge. And we want to help people. We want people to get their lives saved. You can become a part of the team if this is your calling, if this is your purpose. It's like anything. When you are passionate, okay, about it, when you're passionate about this hotline, you see, now you can do more about it. There's also the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So I'm joining that coalition. And for those of you who you may know someone who is a victim, you may know someone who is in a very, very unhealthy relationship. You may see that they're headed down that road. It's almost like alcoholism. You probably can't tell the person. Like I said, you can't just say to a woman, get out. Because get out might be the last thing she ever does in her life. So you can't just do that. However, you can get them some information, get them some help. And here's the thing. And, you know, as of 1990 and somewhere around there, domestic violence, now it is a crime. It's not just something that couples get into, oh, well, they're just fighting. No, it is a crime. There's a crime. There has been a law passed against it. Now, people, again, it amazes me how people, they don't want to talk much about domestic violence, correct? Right. Am I right or wrong? They don't want to talk about this. Violence against women. Are you kidding? Absolutely not. Okay? However, if I had a topic on here about how you can make yourself more sexually attractive to a man or something, the phone lines would be lit up. Okay? Or if I had a topic about how to make your man want you sexually, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God, the chat room would be overflowing, and I can test it out for you just to show you. But, you see, and that's just so ironic because a lot of the same people who would jump to an opportunity to learn more about being sexy or how to make a man want them sexually are the same people who are usually susceptible to violence. Yeah, I put that out there. The same people who would jump to the chance at how can I be more sexy, what can I drink, what can I give him to drink, what club can I go to meet him, what should I wear, what should I say, are the same women who are typically more susceptible to being violated in one of those ways that I mentioned, whether it's socially. Here's one where a lot of women don't think about this one. They think of physical abuse, and they think, well, I'm not being abused because no one's hitting me, pulling my hair, kicking me, dragging me, whatever, throwing things at me. But they are so emotionally abused, it's scary. In other words, he's dating you and he's dating someone else. That's abuse. That's abuse. Anyone who is dating you and another woman, he's abusing you, but you don't consider yourself violated. I don't understand that. I just don't. You don't. The woman who he's dating her and her, they don't feel that they're being violated, but yet they are. They don't feel that the woman who he is lying and cheating on you, he's telling you he's coming over, you're all excited, your emotions are all, you know, hey, my man is coming to get me. He stands you up, not one night, not two nights, but three nights. These women somehow do not feel violated. But those are some of the signs of abuse. Those are some of the signs and the acts of control and power. He's trying to control. See, here's the thing. He's controlled where you go now because he's got you to sit at home and not go anywhere because you're waiting on him. He has control over you because you won't see anyone else because you think you belong to him. So there's, you know, but it's just absolutely amazing to me how, and we know this is just another reason that people do get away with violence, and this is what people, this is how people do get away with this problem, okay? And they don't think that they're being abused. But yet, they are, okay? So, but, and that's why the problem can go on and persist and keep moving forward and gain momentum is because of little things like that. But if we could ever get these same women to see the importance of abuse in the little areas. Now, here's another. I'm going to give you another sign of abuse that most people would never. I don't even think the big psychologists, well, some of them probably would consider this abuse as well. And remember, it could be on the job. You could be getting bullied. Violence against women, we said, is not just men. Here's another area. He tells you he loves you. Oh, he's so in love with you today. This is psychological abuse because abuse is not just hitting. Psychologically, he's abusing you, and emotionally, he's actually ripped you apart. He's done more than abuse you. He's just torn you down. Because some women are actually changed after this. He tells you he loves you. Oh, he makes love to you. Oh, my God. He tells you that you're inseparable. You get pregnant, and he disappears. He's gone. That's abuse, people. He leaves you there, sometimes financially strapped. Cannot even afford the very child that you made love to have. Cannot even afford the child. You have to go on welfare. You cannot afford it, so you need government help to take care of the child. That's abuse. That is abuse. So we need to begin to call other things that are abuse, abuse, so that it can stop. There's nothing cute about that. Psychologically, you're challenged. Emotionally, you're challenged because now it's okay when the baby is like a week old, 2 months old, 8 months old, 2 years old. But once that child gets three and above, now they're looking for daddy. They're like, okay, there's mommy, but where's daddy? And now you have to now talk to this child some kind of way. And you see, that's trauma on your emotions now. You can't tell the child what a lousy person you might think this person is for walking off and leaving you. You can't do that. You got to do something. So I'm telling you, it tears down your emotions, your psychology. Believe me, you, that's abuse. So when people see me and come out with this topic and they see me talking about domestic violence and sexual assault and abuse, they might say, well, I don't need to go. That's not happening to me. I'm like, hold up. It might be happening to you, and you, very much so it's happening to you. You have been abused. And that's why some women even end up in the same abusive situations over and over. They end up with the same kind of scenario every other year or two. And they continue to attract the same person. Why? Because they need to come to the seminar. So we are stepping out. I have a new workshop that we will be doing across the country. And it is entitled Release Your Power Against Abusers. Against abusers, against bullies, and against cyber haters. So we're going to be doing that workshop and seminar in various places that they will have us to come and do the seminar. It may be a church, it may be a school, a high school, college, universities. So we want to teach women how to be strong, how to empower themselves so that this doesn't happen to them. And one of the things that we're going to teach the teens, how we're going to teach them the signs of a healthy relationship where there's fairness, where people really care about them. We're going to teach them, but we got to teach them the signs of both. In order to know if you're in a healthy relationship, you got to know what an unhealthy relationship looks like so you can have some comparison, something to compare it with. So we're going to be doing that. We're also working with Dr. Cindy Hunter and another woman in North Carolina, where we will be going in June, who have a very big women, Mothers and Women Against Domestic Violence down there. We're going to be going down there to help them out, and we're going to be helping women out in other areas. I have a group of women in Cleveland that have a very big Beyond Abuse program. And here in New Jersey, out in Passaic County College, I will be a part of a panel there discussing domestic violence. That's coming in October. Well, October is the month for domestic violence and violence against women. Here's the problem. It happens every 9 seconds. Hello? We can't wait until October. Yeah, we're going to do what we have to do in October, and everybody's going to have their month-long. You're not going to be able to get a building that day or rent a facility because they're already booked. People are already, because every year this is the big month for it. But guess what? It happens every 9 seconds. So we need to be talking about this all year, not just in October. And yes, April is Domestic Child Abuse Month, awareness and what have you. But again, one in every 3 girls are molested before she's 18. This is happening all the time. It doesn't just happen in the month of April. So that was our hot topic for today. We will be back tomorrow. We have a guest for you tomorrow. So we certainly invite you back. Tune in. For those of you who are on the switchboard, thank you for calling in. For those of you who are going to tune in or you're listening via the website, we appreciate you. If you have hot topics, please contact Patricia Martin. And we also have Friday, we have a very, 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 very special guest. So please, please, please tune in. I tell you, our guest, you're going to absolutely love her. Mm-hmm. And also, good morning to each and every one of you. We know we've had a few guests tune in late, but that's okay. You can go and listen to the archive. Good morning and welcome, Hypno Solutions, number one. Good morning and welcome. Good morning, Tina. Good morning, Paul, and the rest of you. It's been great. So I hope you got something out of this. I hope that this has been a topic that you're going to keep, you know, if you need help, if you need somebody, you know somebody, please send them to my website, have them call me. I will be glad to help them, to assist them, to talk to them, to share with them some solutions to this horrible, horrible social problem. Hot Topic Thursdays right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.